Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Piazza Premium Automobile Studios.
Powering your drive with 10 brands and 20 locations.
Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
Yes, it is Dom time, and boy, I have not seen a news day quite like this. We have the Tylenol autism, not till later, but we'll talk about that a little bit. That's going to be announced today. We have the memoriam to Charlie Kirk and related battles still coming off that. Scott Presler was there in the side, and we'll talk with him about the repercussions from that a little bit later on. And we have the guy who was blocked by a human wall from going into a church. And that was at the situation last week with Krasner, the stuff that went on there. Oh, my goodness. All that straight ahead today. Phone lines are 855-839-1210, AT&T and Verizon Wireless. You just push pound 1210 and we'll get you on board. All right, let's start with something you may not have heard played after all this yesterday, and then I'll play some of the things that were most in the fore. Here's Van Jones, and I've always said that Van Jones is a reasonable guy on everything involved. Van Jones yesterday talking about getting racist death threats when Charlie Kirk reached out for a civil debate. Here's what Van Jones said about that.
Van Jones. Van, thank you so much for being with us on this Saturday. Talk to me about your thoughts on getting this message and the timing of it.
Well, look, I mean, it was a little bit of a shock. Obviously, Charlie Kirk and I were not friends. We did not agree on anything. And that last week of his life, we were really going at each other over, what happened with the Ukrainian woman who was murdered. And so the last thing I expected was to hear from him. In fact, we were trying to deal with the wave of death threats and racial stuff that was coming at me in the middle of that controversy when my team called and said that he had been shot. So that was the opposite of what anybody wanted, and we immediately, denounced that killing. But it was the next day when suddenly my team called back and said, Charlie Kirk was trying to reach you the day before he died. I was like, what? So he was trying to reach you. He had sent you a message. And so I saw the message, and it was a message saying, let's talk about this civilly. Let's come on my show. Let's be gentlemen. And he said, let's disagree agreeably. And, this is a weekend to kind of praise the good in Charlie Kirk. There's going to be a long conversation about his exact role and the things that people that he's done that people do not like. But I thought it was important to put that into the public record, that for all the talk now about censorship, he wasn't trying to censor me. He wasn't saying I shouldn't have a show. He was saying, come on my show. For all the talk of civil war, he wasn't talking about violence. He was talking about conversation. And so there's been this attempt, there's almost like two Charlie Kirks. One who, is the guy sending me this, is another Charlie
Kirk.
Gotcha.
Okay, Henry, there we go. Van Jones reaching out on that. The other was an MSNBC panel reacting to Erica Kirk saying that she forgives the killer This is cut 16.
Sorry, give me a second here, Dom. I got a lot of cuts to go through here. They're not in order.
Yeah, cut 16. Talking about on MSNBC, this is moments after Erica Kirk talked about the idea of forgiving, that she forgives the killer, which I'd love to get you in on. That is as noble as it gets. I cannot be a liar and say I would forgive the killer of Roe. I would not. I know what we're called to do, but I know how I feel about that, and I would not. It is very noble, very consistent. But again, I am not going to be the one to say that I have any sense that that's how I would feel about it. All right, little technical problem we'll get to. So 855-839-1210. New York Post yesterday saying that what we have here is the media not taking a look at the signs with the death of Charlie Kirk. What has happened here? The silent majority is not a silent minority. In other words, look at the outpouring. Look at the stuff that's going on. Look at the increasing numbers of chapters. It is overwhelming. That did not stop Mikey Sherrill from going on a rant on Twitter that made a lot of news over the weekend, condemning, and I think taken out of context, several of the remarks that Charlie Kirk made after we told you on Friday she voted for the resolution, which included calling him the patriotic American. And we have a lot of sound from the debate yesterday. Jack Chiarelli is ahead in the first poll that we've seen by a point. You know, these things are all random margin of error. There's going to be a big rally October 10th. At the Seaport, down on the boardwalk in North Wildwood, I'll be there, Rich, Matt Rooney, among the speakers. So we'll give you more details on that tomorrow. But New York Post is right on point, telling us that, yes, it is the silent majority. Now, maybe a close majority, who knows across America, but what we played out yesterday gives us a very good idea that this is on the rise, that this is definitely on the rise. As I mentioned, autism will dominate later this afternoon. I'm in touch with Dr. Oz's office. Dr. Oz will be on the show tomorrow. I don't know the time yet. He'll be there with RFK Jr. And from what I can make out, not officially, Tylenol is going to be the new element introduced here that connects to autism. I am going to read everything I can between now and tomorrow that makes that connection. But I do think there's some evidence, even Sanjay Gupta. I don't think this is wild stuff, but it's going to cause an unbelievable earthquake. And the part you're not being told enough about is that this is part they also are going to offer up what is a treatment. I don't think they're going to say a cure. For kids, people with autism, it's a cancer drug usually used. I think that's going to make as much news. Be ready for that. Now, we had Dr. Siegel on Friday, and Dr. Siegel told me from Fox he couldn't say everything about this because he was in touch inside the Trump administration. But he talked about genetic factors. He talked about Tylenol. So this is all coming down as we speak. And I am, you know, I'm a bit skeptical of some of the RFK Jr. stuff. But on this, I don't think this is wild at all. Now, it depends on how it's couched, what is said, and the president revealing that yesterday. All right. Let me give you the side question. We got a lot of play from yesterday. Ray Dininger here. Henry, how are we doing there? Still no? Is it a computer thing? Or?
It's a cloud thing, actually. Yeah, so give me a second.
Okay, all right. So Bernie Perrant, who was on my show a multitude of times, passed away suddenly. I didn't know he was ill. I just saw him at the Conklin thing in April. He was there over in Glenside. Yeah, the big theater there. Yeah. And this is a shock, just an all-time great and a character. So the side question today is, hit us with that all-time accent. Now, you can't just call in and blurt. If you want to do it a little bit too, that's fine. But hit us with the accent that you think just makes it for you, you know, that is so critically important. And I'm going to take off the board Sean Connery. I've always loved the Sean Connery accent. I think it's an unbelievable accent. And I think it's just, whether in the Untouchables, whether in so many Connery, even the Bond part of it, even so much that they spoofed it on Saturday Night Live. So that's mine. You can hit us with that. Your thoughts from over the weekend, though, with Charlie Kirk. It's incredible. Ready? All right. So this is Cut 17. Here is the widow, Erica Kirk, absolving her husband's suspected assassin. Hold on a second. And just the president said he wouldn't do this. It was honest. Now, you said he hates his political opponents and all. Probably inappropriate on this, but on that day. But the ability to do this and say this, and I believe to be truthful, is remarkable, is genuine. I just have answering, I couldn't do that. And I'm asking you, could you or would you do that? It's noble, it's better, but something inside just tells me I can't lie. I can't say this was inspirational. It is inspirational, but I'm not inspired enough to say that, yes, you know, my first instinct is punishment. Then you can think after that. I'm just hoping the attorneys for this guy. And I wanted to make one point about this guy and all that's going on over the weekend on Sunday. This dropped the Daily Wire with a story that the guy who was stalking Kavanaugh, Judge Kavanaugh, remember that? Trying to kill Kavanaugh, is someone who is now identifying or has for a while as trans. Here we go again. I'm not going to say that the numbers are hundreds of thousands of people or whatever, but it is stunning the number of people that are connected to this issue that are engaged in violence, mental illness, thinking about violence. It's all right there. So here we go again with this story that the Daily Wire broke of the, I guess we'll call it a legend. I don't know if there's been a trial yet on that. The person stalking, remember that with the abortion decision, is now said to be trans. How many times are we going to be hit with this before we start to take a look at what are some clear-cut connections here, at least in a number of ways? All right, so here is the moment with Erica Kirk.
That young man, on the cross, our Savior said, Father, forgive them, for they not know what they do. That young man, I forgive him.
All right, that was clearly, aside from all the other stuff, that was the highlight yesterday. All right, lot to talk about. Watching Eagles yesterday, remarkable. Just seeing these idiots from L.A., which we'll talk about with Ray Dittinger and the passing of Bernie Perot. So all-time accent. Henry, do you have an accent?
Yeah, I got two. Let me take the low-hanging fruit off the board here first. Let me take famed actor and former governor of California, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, it's a big one.
That's one accent I actually wish I could do. It's not in my arsenal, yeah. I don't think, so I'm not even trying to attempt it. The other one I'm going to take off the board, kind of niche, but it was the first one I thought of when I heard the side question, and that would be Steve Martin's Pink Panther. I don't know why. It's just got this, you know, this Jacques, what is it, Jacques Rousseau. He's got this real thick French accent over the top, and he can't say the word hamburger. So I don't know why I think of that as just a really famous accent.
Sort of. It's a little bit random, but that's okay.
Oh, it's very random, but it's the first thing that popped in my head.
Okay. All right, so 855-839-1210. You can hit us with that. But when you call, your reaction, were you watching the memorial yesterday? That is the high point. That is the critical point. I don't know how many people will preach that, say Catholic Church, whatever. Are they going to say that's a demand? I kind of see it as a higher order of what you could strive for. And I'm admitting that I look inside myself and I don't see that. All right, is that a failing or is that a human emotion with this? And she has risen above it. I take her at her word. And I think it plays into what her mission is to reach these young men. Got a special guest coming on tomorrow. It's going to talk about, she's on Fox now, but she was talking yesterday about young women reached by Charlie Kirk. And that is even harder when you look at the polling, you look at everything that you can imagine. A lot from the debate last night with Mikey Sherrill, and Josh Shapiro jumps into the ring. Big interview. I think they gave him almost a half hour on Meet the Press. This guy and the truth are so distant. This guy is such a political menace. He is the real deal as far as he has to be defeated in this governor's race. That is the biggest thing on my mind. All right, 855-839-1210, you get in. All right.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it is Dom, 855-839-1210. You get in. When will California ban Antifa's masking? Just asking. When are they going to do that? They're banning the masks of ICE agents. We know why ICE is adopting the mask, because they want to dox not just them, but their kids even. When is Antifa and their little cosplaying going to stop? When is that going to stop? When are they going to engage in saying no? Isn't that consistent? Just a random thought here. All right, here's the elusive Cut 16 we were talking about. Here are the people involving, they're on MSNBC, as the Erica Kirk moment happens at the memorial, and they're remarking about this, that they're just blown away by it. Cut 16.
Surprised that in Trumpian style, he overall stuck to the teleprompter. He had notable deviations when it came to pushing his, you know, new announcement on autism, from saying that Charlie Kirk supported tariffs to, you know, deviating about crime around the country. But for him, is that about as disciplined as a Trump that you would see in an address like that?
I think so. And look, Charlie Kirk went to a great number of rallies for Donald Trump. He wanted this man to get back into office. He held Turning Point USA events that essentially were Trump rallies, but in name of Turning Point under their banner. I think what honestly, I'll take away from tonight is watching the weight of a woman, a mother, lose her husband. Most people cannot say they've experienced losing a spouse at this young of an age. And I don't know who we are to suggest how somebody should respond in real time. 1 week after her husband's passing, she went in front of a crowd of 40 to 50,000 people, people watching all over the world. And she delivered remarks in which she forgave the assassin that shot her husband.
I thought it was just remarkable.
A remarkable moment, because in so many ways where America stands in 2025 is how do we respond going forward? And the woman that just lost her husband stood there in front of the world and said, I forgive. And because her Christian faith teaches her to love your enemy and not hate your enemy, and to love those that persecute you. And I think what was stunning about the tension that exists here in 2025 was to listen to Erica Kirk, a big supporter of the president, be followed 15, 20 minutes later by the president of the United States, clearly somebody who she loves, but come out and directly say, I disagree with Charlie Kirk and I disagree with you, Erica, and say, I hate my opponents. And I think that says a lot about where we are and the questions about where we go moving forward, the Erica Kirk route or the Donald Trump route.
All right. So a shot there at the end. But the Erica Kirk part of this, that is a high standard. It is a very, very high standard. I wouldn't couch it as, well, that's what you must follow, as much as something to strive for. All right, so here is, this is Cut 25. Here is John Carl yesterday. I guess this was on, I think he's on the rotation filling in this week, but his commentary on Charlie Kirk and still dying on this hill to say this was not a political act. In what universe was this not a political act? It was around the trans issue, maybe some other issues, but it was to silence a political position. Not just some random thing, not just I hate Charlie Kirk, but it's what Charlie Kirk, outside of religion, talked about. But here's John Carl still giving the left an opportunity to say, oh, by the way, in the debate, so that I make this point clear, Jack should be on this week. And I realize he's running, Jack Cittorelli. Both he and Mikey Sherrill were asked about stuff like this. And Mikey Sherrill, of course, was talking about hate crimes. Jack said he would support hate crime legislation for things like this, as I understand. I would not. I'm never going to support hate crime legislation. I'm not. It's ridiculous. If you kill someone, you ought to get the death penalty. Yeah, but if you don't have the hate crime there, then we seem to lose interest on this. Well, that's what we have to fight to get back to it. I just don't see this. I realize the states he's in, you got to say hate crime, hate speech, all that stuff. But otherwise, it was a remarkable debate by Jack Cittorelli yesterday. Particularly, we'll play you some cuts a little bit later, telling the world how much money Mikey Sherrill has made while sitting on committees that are directly involved with the stock exchanges that she engaged in. All right, so here is the... Here is John Carl telling us this is not a political act.
Good morning. Welcome to This Week. Later today, family, friends, and supporters of Charlie Kirk will gather in Glendale, Arizona for his memorial. The 31-year-old activist's murder shocked the nation, and it was condemned by sensible and compassionate people in and out of politics and across the political spectrum. It has also been senselessly celebrated by some, a small minority, who didn't like what Kirk stood for.
Much bigger.
And thought it was somehow therefore justified. Celebrating or excusing violence is abhorrent. The murder of Charlie Kirk was not a political act. It was a gruesome crime. His alleged killer now faces the death penalty. Our thoughts this morning are with the Kirk family, especially his two young children who will now grow up without their father. Whatever you think of his political views, and there are many who were deeply offended by things he said, Charlie Kirk was an unwavering advocate for free speech. On a personal note, he was always willing to engage with me and answer my questions. He welcomed debate with those he disagreed with. He did not try to silence his critics. He listened to them and tried to change their minds. As Charlie Kirk's body is laid to rest, that core principle is under attack in America.
All right. So as far as that last part, that's consistent with what everybody's saying. But this is a political act. It's both an act of silent speech, but it's based upon the politics of this. And John Carl is saying that, I think, because he's trying to deflect and get away from the fact that this is coming from the left. And a lot of this stuff is coming from the left. And more of it might be coming from the left. We're going to bring you Frank Scales. young conservative here in Philadelphia. And I think we have some footage of that to kind of preview. Henry, this is cut four, youtube.com/1210WPHT. He'll be here at 1:30. I'm told that Larry Krasner and his minions, well, this story started to go national. It's a town hall. I was going to go to that when I couldn't at the last minute. Would I have been denied entry to that? I know the guy blocking him, Asa Khalif. He and I have had friendly sparring over the years. They form a human wall at a church and tell him he's not going to be allowed in because they don't like his viewpoint. Here's how it looked, and here's how it sounded.
You're not coming in. You're not coming in.
You're not coming in.
You're not coming in to our sacred spaces. You're not coming in.
Sacred spaces.
You're not coming in. You're not coming in.
Why not? Why can't I come in?
Because I said you're not.
This is Larry Krasner's town hall at Mother Bethel Church at Society Hill.
Sacred spaces. You're not coming to our sacred
spaces.
Where
were you yesterday?
Where were you yesterday? You're not coming in our sacred space, as simple as that. Because I said you're not coming in. I'm saying you're not coming in.
Okay, we got the flavor of it. So there's a human wall there. And I might surprise you, I am not a fan of the civil affairs police. They have a job to do that's difficult. I'll explain why. They're the people that are supposed to stop things like this from happening. It took them forever to say, hey, Asa, you can't be doing that. What? Clear them the hell out of there. Get them off the church steps. It's a town hall. It's an open public meeting. Frank Scales and others have every right to be there. Now, if they're out of line, speak out of turn, you can remove them, even arrest them if you have to. I've had experience with the civil affairs police. I had Tom Corbett here at the Art Museum. Yeah, the Art Museum of all places, one of our events. These people unwrap all kinds of banners and start screaming. And the head of the civil affairs tells me I'm going to give each one of them a minute to speak. There were like 60 of them. Are you kidding me? They're scared to death of Krasner. How in the world can you block Frank Scales from going into that church, which was a built town hall? Sacred place. These are not sacred places, ministers, when you're in connivance with Larry Krasner. It's sacred with Larry Krasner sitting there in the front of the church? I don't think so. All right, so what's going to be done about this in Philadelphia? Where's the outcry, except New York Post, it's starting to go national. Where are the Inquirer and the others? Now, Talk Radio 1210 is on this. Frank will be here at 1:30 today. He's a recent graduate, a Roman Catholic. But these are the very same people about saint at Jimmy Kimmel. But Larry Krasner and his minions, including Asa Khalif, who has had all kinds of run-ins with the police, Asa, come on now, that's true. They let him and these other people block entrance to this event. All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210. Coming up, the great Ray Dittinger. Because yesterday in Philadelphia, we saw something that was unparalleled. It's just shocking as much as you see an NFL football game. It's a story that's incredible. We'll have him break that down. And also, Ray, I think, has written about, knew very well, an all-time character, an all-time sports icon, Bernie Perrant, who was on my show several times. We needed to put closed captioning there. And that's a side question today. All-time accent, the French-Canadian accent. All right, you can hit us with that. Get in early this week. Get your name into the hat. Here's how you get in. 855-839-1210.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Dom here at Dano's show. Of course, the Eagles yesterday, the other story in town, the memoriam, you may have been switching back and forth. Hard to believe. Just hard to believe. It's not just the grit resilience of the Eagles, which is without doubt. It's the LA Rams. What? The NFL is not, trust me, not made up of all rocket scientists who are always on top of it. Now, the way that I see it, they get flustered. They mess up big time. I don't know if Ray Dittinger, who's played spinner, is going gangbusters. We'll tell you where. And Tommy and me out there. Also, the passing of Bernie Parent. Just an all-timer. It almost seems prehistoric. Now, we had Jim Watson down last year at Mulligan's. Talking about the glory days of the Flyers. But this guy, you know, when they talk about a goalie standing on his head, if you lived through that era, it was beyond remarkable stuff what he was able to achieve. And then afterwards, so much in demand. Let's go to Ray Dininger here on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Ray, welcome in. My takeaway yesterday, not only the positive, the Eagles, but maybe some people in the NFL are a bit overrated. Like the LA Rams and the coaching staff, et cetera, maybe?
Well, they're a good team, Dom, and they'll be in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I mean, they'll be playing in January, and the Eagles very well may see them again. I mean, they're a good team.
I meant their decision-making, the head coach, et cetera, Ray. I just, either that or Nick Sirianni is just the second coming of Vince Lombardi. It's starting to look that way. He takes advantage. The Eagles staff takes advantage of the slightest miscues of the coaching staff of the other teams, is what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I think that's true. And I mean, if you you could talk about this game and examine this game and do studies on this game for weeks and weeks. Mm-hmm. And there's that many ways to pick it apart. But if you really look at what it comes down to, I mean, yes, obviously the blocked field goal and Jordan Davis blocking the field goal and returning for the touchdown. I mean, just crazy stuff.
Hey, but, Ray,
I mean,
do you like the new age? We're supposed to believe that Jordan Davis was running, I think it's 18.72 miles per hour.
Yeah, I know. Well, I know that. Yeah, they have these what they call next generation stats.
Yes,
now people are trying to reinvent and find new ways to look at football. I still look at it the old school way.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's cool if you can do that. I mean, to think about a guy that big that can run that fast.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you look at the statistics of this game, one of the things that jumps out at me is I really do think the game is very often decided by who is the most productive inside the 20. You know, the thing they always call
right.
about the red zone. And you get inside the 20, if you're kicking field goals, you're not winning games. I mean, you get inside the 20, you've got to score. And in yesterday's game, I mean, the Rams were inside the 20 four times. They scored one touchdown.
Yep.
The Eagles were inside the 20 three times. They scored three touchdowns. And that's, you know, I mean, people say it's oversimplifying it, but it's not. I mean, you get that many opportunities, you've got to come away with points. And the Eagles did and the Rams didn't. And in the end, you know, that was the difference.
Yeah, without a doubt. Ray, the game yesterday, too, the perspective of Davis, when we look at the big picture, signed to a deal, I think it's around $12 million. This guy losing weight, now coming into his potential, is that Howie Roseman again, well ahead of the curve, figuring that out and signing him?
Yeah, I think that. And they, he's been here for a couple of years now, so they've had an opportunity to work with him.
Mm-hmm.
They see what kind of a kid he is. They see the kind of character and determination that he has. And they felt comfortable signing him for the money, giving him the money, picking up the last year of his option, because he's played well. But what they said with him, what they said and what he heard when they said it was, yeah, you have played well to this point, but you could be better. You know, you could be better. I mean, if you lost a little weight, you got a little bit better shape, you know, you could play more snaps in the game, and maybe you'd be a better pass rusher. You know, he was already a good run defender. I mean, he's a massive guy, and you can't block him pretty much.
Exactly.
But they said, you know, what, you know, if you could get a little quicker off the ball here and lose a little weight and get more pressure on the quarterback, you'd be even better, and you'd be fresher in the fourth quarter. You know, when we need you to get the pressure on the quarterback. And, you know, I mean, you tell a lot of the modern-day athletes that stuff, and it goes in one ear and out the other, you know. And to this kid, to his credit, I mean, he went in the offseason. He lost 30 pounds, Dom. Now, that's not – I mean, you got to work at that. That just doesn't happen. I mean, you have to work at that. And when he came back this summer, I mean, when I saw him, I was amazed. I mean, he really looked like a different guy. And he has played – he has played really good. I mean, through three games, he has played really good, and he's played a lot of snaps, especially the first game against Dallas when Jalen Carter gets tossed out of the game before it even starts, and that put even more pressure on Davis. He had to play even more snaps, and he played great. He played really good in Kansas City, and then yesterday probably played the best game of his career, and then at the end of the game when everything's on the line with the field goal, he blocks it and runs it in for a touchdown.
It is stunning. Ray, sadly, in the middle of all this, I mean, I saw him in April, the Joe Conklin event over at the Keswick. I didn't know that he was ill or whatever, but what is it that made Bernie Parent, now, you know, the last championship, I guess, about 50 years ago, endure here in Philadelphia, that he was an icon still?
Oh, man, there's a lot that goes into it, Dom. I mean, for a guy to have that kind of fame and engender that kind of affection for more than half a century now.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the amazing part is, you know, it isn't like he was ever forgotten. I mean, he was as popular this week as he was coming down Broad Street with the Stanley Cup. I mean, people loved him that much. And there are a couple things about it. You know, you start with the athletic achievement. You start with the kind of player that he was. This might sound like I'm being partisan Philadelphia. Trust me, it's not. I mean, I've been a professional journalist for a long time. So I can, you know, I'd like the Philly teams to win, but I'm pretty objective in terms of evaluating athletic performance. And I will tell you that the 2 years that the Flyers won those cups, 73, 74, 75, in that stretch, Bernie Parent was the best goaltender I ever saw. I mean, you can take Esposito, you can take Dryden, you can take Hasek, you know, all of these guys, all of the Patrick Waugh, Martin Brodeur, I mean, all of those guys, and they're all good. I mean, they're all great. I mean, they're all in the Hall of Fame. But I never saw anybody that was better than Bernie was those 2 years. And, I mean, if you just look at the numbers, I mean, I tell people the numbers now, and if I did it the other day at the play on Sunday, you know, we had a moment of silence for Bernie at the play, and I did my post show talk to the audience largely about Bernie's career, and I read off some of the numbers, and people were gasping that they couldn't. You know, you think about this: that in the 1973-74 season, there were 78 games in the regular season. Bernie played 73 of the 78 games. 73 of the 78 games. He set the league record for wins in a season. He had 12 shutouts. And for a team that broke all of the penalty minute records, which means that the whole team was playing shorthanded for a whole season. I mean, the whole team was in the penalty box. And his goals against average was 1.89. And then he comes back the next year, 74-75, and he does it again. Over the course of those two seasons, if you combine the regular season with the postseason, Bernie's goals against average was below two, and he had 28 shutouts. And he won the Vezina Trophy as the outstanding goalie both years, and he won the Conn Smythe Trophy for postseason, the MVP of the postseason both years, and he won both clinching games. The first year beating Boston 1-0, and the next year beats Buffalo 2-0 in a game where the Flyers score the second goal with like 40 seconds to go. That was also basically a 1-0 game. So he won those two by shutout when he had zero margin for error. I mean, there have been a lot of great goalies that have come along. I've seen them all. But Bernie, for those 2 years, was absolutely the best I ever saw.
Well,
and,
Ron,
and the other part of it was, in addition to what I was just saying, was the athletic achievement, which is obvious, was just such a, he was such a warm and wonderful person.
And the accent. Of course.
Yes. That's a big part of it. And you know, and when he came to my play the other night, I asked him well, the first show was going to be Wednesday night. And I called him up and I said, "Hey Bernie, we're doing this play. It's about a guy that you actually played with in Toronto. I'd love it if you could come out and be there and we'll do a little Q&A after, and it would help to get the whole run off to a great start." And Bernie said, "I'll be there. Where is it? What time do you need me?" He shows up. And he came out on the stage, and he got the biggest standing ovation you could ever imagine. And it made me, as sad as I was yesterday when I heard the news, and I was really sad because he and I were good friends. The only thing I could think of was, you know, it was great that he got that last moment. You know, that he had that on Wednesday, he walked out there and got that huge cheer, and he just got this big smile on his face. And at the end of the evening, when we finished the Q&A and we were saying our goodbyes, the last image I had of Bernie as I was heading out the door was him standing on the edge of the stage, signing autographs, posing for pictures, and showing people his Stanley Cup ring. I mean, he was doing that, and they were getting ready to turn the lights out, and Bernie was still there talking to people. I mean, that's the kind of guy he was, and that's a big part of, in addition to the athletic achievement, in addition to his hockey greatness, he was just such a warm, wonderful, open person that's why people remember.
Without a doubt, every time that I had him on. So, Ray, the play going great guns. Where can we find Spinner? And then Tommy and Me is coming up right behind it.
It really is. I didn't plan it this way. It just sort of happened this way. But the two of them are running back to back. Spinner is running right now at the Delaware Theater Company in Wilmington, which is a beautiful theater right off I-95. The play is running now and will continue to run through October the 5th. And then Tommy and Me, which has been around, we're celebrating our 10th anniversary.
Wow.
This is the 10th year of Tommy and Me.
Unbelievable.
And we are coming back to where we were in January. We're coming back to People's Light in Malvern. And that will be starting on October the 7th and running through October the 19th. And with Spinner, we're having a lot of special guests that are coming to the performances. And after the show, we go on stage and do a Q&A with the audience. So, as I said, we had Bernie on Wednesday night. We'll have Mark Bowden, the author of Black Hawk Down, on Wednesday. We'll have Joe and Jimmy Watson on Thursday night.
Just make sure people shake Jimmy Watson's hand and then report what that feels like. I've never felt anything like that. We had him at Mulligan's, as you know. My goodness.
Oh yeah, it's a crusher. I mean, him and Joey, and you know, they obviously played against Brian Spencer, the subject of Spinner, and you know, they come from that same part of British Columbia, that rural lumber country where they found their way to the NHL just like he did. So you know, they can talk a lot about that whole thing, and they're just great guys, and I'm sure we'll talk an awful lot about Bernie. So we'll be there. We're doing Spinner now, and it's going to be there through the 5th of October. So it's Delaware Theater Company Wilmington. Please come out and see the play. We've had a couple of great performances, and the audience has really, really enjoyed it. So I hope folks can come out and see it.
Absolutely, Ray. We'll continue to say that, Ray. Thank you so much, as always.
Always great to be with you, Dom.
Take care. Ray Dininger here on Talk Radio 1210 after a big day yesterday. And Spinner, if you love Tommy and Me, you're going to love Spinner. All right, I'm coming to your calls next at 855-839-1210. AT&T and Verizon Wireless. All that you have to do is just push #1210. So I would bet, as far as I can tell, people I talk with this morning, the announcement today is going to be twofold on autism, Tylenol, and then the part two, what is a new therapy? That should make as much news for autism. Expect that this is going to be a 5-alarm fire, as you can imagine. I'm happy to see where RFK Jr. is going with this. I want to see the documentation. You know, even Dr. Gupta and others have said, well, Dr. Siegel on my show on Friday, less is more during pregnancy, try to avoid, but is that going to cause guilt? It's a sensitive, sensitive thing. So coming to your calls next, Talk Radio 1210. All right, Dom Giordano with you. Coming up, our buddy Scott Presler at 2 o'clock today. And Scott, in the center of it out there in Glendale, Arizona yesterday. He'll take you behind the scenes and what he thinks of the send-off for Charlie Kirk. Joe Concha, love him on Fox, will be here because we're seeing more of the ladies on The View, hundreds of other people now trying to push back on the sainted Jimmy Kimmel. All right, as we continue forward with this nonsense with him, will ABC tag him back in without an apology, without a donation that the Sinclair people talked about? One other thing coming from the Charlie Kirk thing yesterday and his wife, I just saw this, and you maybe have never called before. I'd love to hear. I mean, I am so adamant on this. Wall Street Journal reporting that people are saying you have to wait, or they are determining they have to wait to have financial success before they get married. Rather than you get married, you love the person, everything's a gamble, come on, and you are rolling the dice. I don't mean crazy, but I think that's what love is. You got to wait to do it. We're going to, what's your 401k say today? Oh, no, we can't get married yet. Oh, my God. Wall Street Journal, I really today, and it kind of ties in to the whole Kirk thing. I'll let you go in a second here, Henry. So, that sort of approach is becoming more widespread with both people working fully, et cetera, rather than achieving it together. You know, there's a lot of hurdles due to inflation, Biden, Democrats, regulation, and all that, to feeling financially solvent enough to get married. I get it. But if you're going to put the added burden there, the two of us better have financial success before getting married. Then, oh, well, I think the clock is ticking then on the other part of this, which is having kids. Henry, the rebuttal?
Yeah, no, not so much as a rebuttal, but like, I mean, I get it. I get putting, you know, the cart before the horse in this scenario, having kids. Well, you probably should have like a nuclear family to raise kids. I understand it that, you know, it you can't raise, you know, you can't be rich in love as much as you used to be. You got to be rich in money a little bit. So I get it to an extent.
Okay, so you're in the camp that says you...
I'm not in the camp, but I understand the camp.
And what's the... What am I missing here? You're putting... It's already bad enough, tough enough, to feel that you're, you know, sort of ready to be married financially. But then to... There's a different flavor to this, that you be financially successful at that point.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. There's kind of a sense of... Oh, man, I just lost my train of thought. Like... You know, come back to me on this one. Okay, I lost my train of thought.
All right. So 855-839-1210. Maybe you never called before. Is that your view? I mean, we already have enough hurdles to get married. I'm saying this, and I saw it on Fox this morning, and they were saying it because of Charlie Kirk saying, essentially, roll the dice, get married, have kids. I'm in agreement with that. Not wildly. We're not talking about wild stuff here. But in general, at some point, isn't that what you do when you get married? That's my stance on it. I mean, yeah, I just knew I was going to marry Ro, come hell or high water. It was nothing, you know. I wouldn't say instantly. It took me 5 minutes.
Is the expense of a marriage enough of a deterrent to not do it?
Well, then you mean a big wedding?
Any wedding, really.
Yeah, well, don't do the wedding that big. I mean.
All right.
Let's have every 10 minutes as you think of them, and people can help hurdles to getting married. So the wedding, I really have
just to go elope.
If you have to, you have to. If you're, you know, Ro's father paid for a lot of it, but I know that's not, out of bounds now. You got to limit the wedding to under, pick a figure even now.
Oh, man.
That's it.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I can't wait until I have to have a $25,000 wedding.
We live in a society that encourages it.
All right. You got to help me. I need to hear some female cars of this. Is that true? Did you have to? And oh, no. It's got to be a big wedding and all that type of stuff. What are the hurdles? You know, what is it you have to check the box of? And the Wall Street Journal story today seems to indicate people are saying financial success, not just... Well, we both have a job, we're getting by and all that. I get it. These are real concerns. But if you don't do it, the clock ticks. And then what happens? When is the right time?
Yeah, then there's no right time.
I think the right
time.
You know what? I tell people this for president even. I've told several of these guys that asked me, go for it. I'm not going to sit there. I'm sitting there saying, oh, no, I'm not going for it in 2012, right? Mm-hmm. I'm waiting till 2016. Christie, what happens? Trump comes out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And your whole life, you've been building, building, building toward president. What happens? Bang, Trump is there. And you go, uh-oh, I'm done.
Yeah.
When it's there, and by there, I mean, not wild, but...
It's attainable.
It's attainable. It's a decent shot. You got to take your shot.
Yeah. Plus, worst case scenario, I mean, when you go on TV networks, it'll say former candidate for president next to your name on the chyron.
Exactly. Right. And he waited and waited. Thank God in some ways. He would have been the nominee, I think. All right, Henry, any other hurdles occur to you? That was a good one.
No, not quite yet.
Okay.
I'll have to keep brainstorming.
Are you in the hurdle camp to getting married or in the camp that says, no, you love each other, go for it? 855-839-1210. Particularly love to hear from females. I think it comes down to a choice. Yeah, but I want the wedding. All right. Wait for that. Clock is ticking year after year after year. Is that what you're going to do? All right. Don't hit me. And so I want you to call in and hit us on the side question. Coming off Bernie Perrant, all-time accent. The guy had a heck of a French-Canadian accent. I said Sean Connery. You heard Henry's. We'll get Sean's. All that coming up. 1:30, you're going to meet Frank Scales. He's the guy, just a Roman Catholic, who they formed a human wall to stop him from getting in to the Larry Krasner town hall. It's out there because of the footage. He's pretty funny, Henry, too. You cut this. Mm-hmm. In that he fakes like this.
Yeah.
Like he's a running back to one side or the other of the human wall. All right, 855. Any hurdles coming up on Talk Radio 1210?
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.